Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in Radio DMG may or may not be the views and opinions of the DMGI's family of sites. All music used in this podcast is the property of whoever made it, and no copyright infringement is intended. God bless this albatross, and hold on tight for the awesome you're about to receive.
It's good to be the king.
And welcome to Radio DMG 100% Newsity for November 25th, 2011. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here with special guest from Cross Border Gaming. This is the point where you introduce
Harold the H-Bomb Price.
Yeah.
And it is Black Friday.
Absolutely.
So Friday, Friday, today is Friday.
Yeah. There was going to be a cross-border gaming
It's Rebecca Black Friday.
I guess she is a bit half off. So we got a... Unfortunately, Frank or E-Master from cross-border gaming, his computer kind of exploded, didn't it?
I wouldn't exactly use those terms, but he did have a computer failure, which is delaying episode 85 and caused us to have to cancel our Black Friday special. But we should be good to go next week for episode 86.
Yeah, I mean, he works with computers for a living. I'm pretty sure he can fix everything that's wrong with the computer. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure of it. Mm-hmm. More or less, though, yeah, we were going to do
it. He's the MacGyver of computing.
he's sitting there with a paperclip and rubber band right now. So what we're going to go ahead and do is just do a real quick 100% newsity because, like, well, we're going to honor our fallen comrade and his computer by doing kind of a show without him, sort of. I know this we were supposed to do. I was supposed to join you guys on your show for this, kind of like I joined you guys on your show with Sarah for episode 85. Yeah. Which,
that was an awesome show, by
yeah,
the way.
Even with all the drops. Which was surprising.
Drop.
Yep. Dropped calls everywhere. Oh, well. Happens. It might have been his...
No.
Yeah. It was...
Well, it wasn't me.
No. It was our internet connection over here, and then, like... Yeah. We're using old equipment. So, anyways, Harold, what did you do for Thanksgiving?
What did I do? I went over to my sister's place.
Was there turkey?
There was turkey. There's also beef brisket. There was delicious mashed potatoes and gravy and corn and veggies done on the grill.
Ooh, grilled
veggies. Yeah, my brother-in-law was cooking on the grill. And my mom made her famous cornbread dressing.
Well,
Yeah.
Did you get any, did you get your Wii back from your sister?
Yes, I picked up my Wii, but main reason she stopped using it was the cord to the sensor bar broke.
Oh.
So, I'm gonna have to get me a new sensor bar. Perhaps a wireless sensor bar. Although, I don't know how I'm going to put it on my new TV now, especially with my Kinect hooked up.
Well, what you could probably do, like the Kinect
has... put it on the Kinect?
Yeah. Does the Kinect have any lights on it? I'm trying to remember. Because I know the iToy has a light.
I don't know. Is that going to mess up the Wii?
Not that I know of, but what you could do is you could turn on the iToy and then turn on the Kinect and then just move them to one side on there and use them as a sensor bar. That might work.
Except it's got to be it's not hooked up to the Wii.
Nah, it doesn't have to be hooked up to the Wii. All that's in the sensor bar are two lights. The sensor bar that's on the Wii originally, it's just two little light bulbs in a little bar that derives power from the Wii. The only reason it's connected is to power the bar through the Wii. So that's how the wireless ones work. You just like put batteries in it, pop it up there, and just shows the little lights. Because the camera inside of the Wii remote is looking for the lights and the distance between them as you go toward them or away from them.
Yeah. Now that we're off tangent, after dinner at my sister's, I took a nap. And then later that evening, we went. Me and my folks went back to my sister's place, picked her up, and then we went to Kohl's for Black Friday. Picked up some stuff for my niece Daphne and my cousin CJ. And of course, earlier in the evening, I picked up some stuff for my niece Lydia and my cousins Audrey and Addison, and as well as something for my dad and a bunch of games for Keg's Child's Play raffle, including Asphalt 3D and Super Monkey Ball 3D for 3DS. Some of the other ones included BioShock 2, Shaun White Snowboarding, Modern Warfare Reflex Edition, Metroid Other M, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, The Crystal Bearers, and a whole bunch more.
And that's all going to charity?
Yeah, those games are all going to charity. Check out Cheap Ass Gamer within the next week or two for more details. But yeah, I've been donating pack bundles past few years now.
That's cool. I noticed you had an audio boo about this. Would you like to go into a little bit of what happened? Because apparently you got to call in, from what I got from the audio boo, you got to call in to the CAGcast show that they had for Black Friday. And yeah. You were on with another guest, apparently, who was fairly rude.
Yeah, Jimmy Mack, he's a jerk. But everybody on CAG knows he's a jerk. He's been a jerk for years. And he was also on Hell's Kitchen for a couple years ago.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't seen Hell's Kitchen in a while. That's the one with Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. One of the ones with Gordon Ramsay.
One of the ones. I like Kitchen Nightmares more. That one's always fun.
I like MasterChef.
I just like seeing things go horribly wrong and then like people actually owning up to fixing them, because when stuff goes horribly wrong, that's what you do. So did you pick anything up for yourself for Black Friday?
I did not. I almost picked up some knives at Kohl's because I have a knife.
Oh. You can never have too many knives.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been in my own place since April, so I'm still getting stuff together.
Heard you're putting up a tree, too.
Yep, tree itself is up. I was putting ornaments on. Yeah, I got a good deal on a pre-lit tree from Home Depot.
No, that's good.
Okay. So, how about you? How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, there was food. It's just myself and Sarah and my grandmother around here and the dog. But there was some food, ate some food. Mostly I slept in Thanksgiving. So I missed the parades and all that
jazz. You
slept
in Thanksgiving?
I slept in.
Is that why you got turkey all over your pajamas and gravy? Because you slept in Thanksgiving?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Without hesitation. Okay, then after a bit, we went and saw the new Muppet movie, because we had some free tickets from purchasing the Muppet movie and, the Great Muppet Caper, because, like, if you purchase any of the Disney, releases for those, they came with free tickets that you could get from the Disney Club.
So how is it?
Well, it feels a lot like the original Muppet movies, because there's only a handful of them that are actually pretty good. There's the Muppet Movie, Muppets Take Manhattan, The Great Muppet Caper, and Muppet Christmas Carol are really the ones that I would actually recommend people check out.
Yeah, I never even saw Muppet Treasure Island, and I only saw Muppets from Space once.
Oh, gosh. Those are both awful. And so is, like, the Muppet Wizard of Oz. It has this really painful cameo with Quentin Tarantino for some reason.
If it wasn't theatrically released, it doesn't count.
Yeah. This is their first theatrical film in forever, and they got Jason Segel because of what he,
Since Muppets from Space. Yeah.
Wait, Muppets in Space was theatrically released?
Yeah.
Ew. Anyways, I forgot about that. But no, this new Muppet movie is really great, although it felt like, there's this weird subtext about it, about how, kind of how cynical children's entertainment has become. There's a very subtle subtext to that. Because the idea is that while the Muppet Theater, this rich oil tycoon named Tex Richmond is going to tear down... He wants to buy the studio and tear it down because there's oil underneath it and nobody cares about the Muppets anymore. So this Muppet, who apparently lives with Jason Segel's character, I forgot what the human's character was, name was in that. I mean, pretty much it's like, oh, that's Jason Segel. I know he's got a character name aside from that in the movie, but I forgot what it was, because the humans aren't really that important.
I like Jason Segel.
Oh, he's awesome in this.
Like him on How I Met Your Mother, and plus he co-wrote.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty... It's a really funny film, but it's also, like, really innocent, meaning that there's nothing really, I guess to say edgy in it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was... I thought the music was pretty great. I thought the plot was fine. I thought the jokes were great. I thought it was really, really... a really, really touching tribute to the Muppets franchise. One of the better Muppet movies, and one of the better family movies out this holiday season.
From what I heard, it sounds like it's probably the best post-Henson Muppet movie.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is, because it feels like Henson would have made this. And, really big. I mean, if you really liked the Muppet Show, this whole thing is just fan service.
Oh,
this is fan. This is because the whole point of it is they're trying to get everyone back together to put on one last The Muppet Show. Some of the cameos in it are a little strange. Like Neil Patrick Harris makes a cameo in it. So do a bunch of other people like Sarah Silverman, Mickey Rooney, for some bizarre reason,
Dave Grohl.
Yeah. there's a weird cameo with, Selena Gomez where she comes in and they're like, well, my agent told me to be here. I have no idea what you guys are. And I was like, wow, that's so sad. It was just like, wow, that's so sad because, you know, most people don't. When we were leaving the theater, there's a song that plays during part of the credits that, like, manamana,
do-do-do-do.
Yeah. And there was a kid.
Yeah, I got the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. There's a kid.
That was classic. Classic Muppets right
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty awesome. But when we were leaving the theater,
and
there was
I
a,
noticed Rainbow yeah? Connection was also on the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. There was two versions of that. There was, like, kind of a strange
the
little
commercial
one, which is pretty funny when that happens. But, yeah, when we were leaving the theater...
One of the greatest... Rainbow Connection, one of the greatest movie songs ever.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good movie song.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Oz.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the world of Oz, the prison. But, yeah, actually, when we were leaving the theater, we realized that... We overheard, like, some kid asking their parents, like, what does manamana mean? And it's kind of...
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where there's a huge generation gap, but I hope that this leads to more things with this franchise. And yeah, then I went from there to home, hung out for a bit, uploaded the latest episode of Radio DMG, which was like the Glorious Excess show, which is about almost 4 hours of stuffing. It even includes the original first episode of Radio DMG that we did. You know, you and Sarah and I.
Yeah.
And then a couple of the pocket editions and a bunch of music from it. It's kind of an interesting little thing. But after that, we went to the midnight sale over at GameStop to see what they had. Not much, really, but it was packed. And then we went over to Target because I picked up a couple, like three. We didn't pick up any gifts for any. Sorry, for anybody else. We picked up some Christmas lights, and then I got Pulp Fiction for about $4, and the new Resident Evil movie and Inception, and got those for about $7 each. And then we picked up Okamedan
Inception
and Dream Trigger. And got Dream Trigger for $14.95 and Okamedan for $14.95, which is... I think that's a pretty decent deal. We didn't really buy much. It was more or less like we went over there to check how they were controlling the crowds. GameStop had about 2 employees, and they had about 50 people packed into the store. And it's a tiny little store, and I was just like, this is really bad crowd management. But yeah, then I came home. Noticed you guys had a bit of a disaster with the computer. Tweeted a little bit. Then went to sleep for like a little bit. Then woke up, took out the trash, put up a video for the Nintendo announce. We'll mention that in the news, and pretty much that. That's all I did for Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Black Friday's not over yet, so I might eventually leave the house. If I leave the house, I'll probably go to one of the thrift stores because those are also having sales for Black Friday.
Or maybe you'll go party and party and here, party and party and here.
Nah, not really so much of a party person. I gotta clean up stuff over here in the house. And then there's like, well, I might go hit Goodwill and Arc Thrift. Why not? Yeah. Because you can get some pretty good stuff in there. And I'll probably talk a bit about those and what I've been playing. So, but really, what have you been playing? All systems.
What have I been playing?
Yeah.
All systems. Most recently, on iOS, Ticket to Ride came out, and I've been playing a lot of Ticket to Ride on XBLA, but have it on my iPhone. I've been wanting that for a long time, so it's about damn time. Plants vs. Zombies on XBLA. On my Kindle Fire, I got this Mahjong game that I've been playing a lot. What else? Rock Band 3, of course. That's all I can think of right now.
Well, myself, I've been playing, I went back and started playing some more new Super Mario Brothers because I need to finish up my review of it.
Wii or DS?
Oh, for the DS. We don't review Wii games on DMG Ice. It's not affordable. And then I picked...
Oh, you didn't... I didn't hear you say review.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for review copies, I've been... Well, for reviewing, I've been playing that one, and I'll eventually steal back Super Mario 3
Spoiler,
to finish
my good.
Review.
Get it.
Oh, yeah. But then, like, there's a bunch of Disney stuff I've been playing recently, because I thought, well, let's see. I like to do kind of little themes with the reviews sometimes. Like, when Super Mario 3D Land came out, we put up a review for a Sonic game. But I've been doing a couple of reviews for older Capcom games from on the Game Boy. Mostly Disney stuff. I've been playing a little bit of Land of Illusion on the Game Gear, starring Mickey Mouse. That one's not a Capcom item. I think that one's just Sega. And then, like, The Little Mermaid and Darkwing Duck and DuckTales 1 and 2
Ooh.
For the Game Boy, which they still hold up. Still hold up remarkably well. Other than that, there was a Metroid 2 that just came out recently on the 3DS Virtual Console that came out on Thursday. We updated the download guide, and there's screenshots of it now in our Flickr because Nintendo was late by a day putting up screenshots and making those available to the press. I guess they too were suffering from that little Thanksgiving turkey coma. But yeah, those are up on our Flickr page and in Area DMG, our YouTube channel, so go ahead and check those out. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. So let's go on to the news. There isn't too much news. There was a Nintendo announced that announced Pushmo for the U.S. in December. It's kind of a moving sliding block puzzle game where you can make your own puzzles, and it's pretty cute. Have you checked out the video yet? That's on Area DMG for it.
I have not.
Ah,
I think I vaguely remember hearing something about Pushmo and seeing some screenshots.
Yeah, it's from what I can tell from the video, it's a bit like the sliding block puzzles that are in Catherine, but you can make your own, and it's kind of like those sliding block puzzles in a world that looks
so
like
it's Catherine without the nudity.
No, it's more Catherine like Catherine with Katamari Damacy.
Without the sex.
Pretty much. It's like it uses kind of the same art style as Katamari Damacy, which is weird. From what I can tell, it's about rescuing children or something. Moving blocks around and picking up items and rescuing children from a theme park. Something like that. And now the other one up there, the other story we have is that Capcom is celebrating the 10th anniversary of Phoenix Wright by putting out commemorative wine. Yeah, apparently it comes out in two different flavors. There's a...
Genius Red for Edgeworth. Yeah, and for Phoenix Wright, Heat White.
And how far did you get into the Phoenix Wright games?
I played the entire first one. I got about halfway through the second. I actually had the third one unopened, and I donated it to CAG Raffle a couple years ago.
I've played through all of them. Almost all of them. I haven't beaten Ace Attorney Investigations or the Apollo Justice one. With Apollo Justice, I was just more like, I'm not really a big fan of how this is written. I thought the writing for Apollo Justice was not anywhere near as strong as the original trilogy. Mainly because that third game in the original trilogy ties everything together, including the DL6 case from the first game, and it just put it together perfectly. But yeah, these are to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the first game that came out on Game Boy Advance in Japan. The white wine, of course, is for Phoenix, right? It's a Zinfandel because it's a white wine here, and the for some reason Edgeworth is a sweet red wine. I'm not sure completely what type of wine that is, but what its family is. But I think it's kind of weird that that Phoenix would be the one that's kind of the dry wine, whereas Miles Edgeworth would be the sweet wine. This wine package comes up to about 4,725 yen, or about 50 bucks, 50, 60 bucks, which isn't too bad for wine, especially considering these, but I wouldn't expect these to be like fine wine, you know what I mean? They come with a little wine glass that has the Blue Badger mascot from the game etched into it. Not too bad. I kind of wish that Capcom would have celebrated the 10th anniversary of Phoenix Wright. I mean, considering that the 10th anniversary is coming up and like there's that movie coming up, the live action, I would rather they celebrate that by I don't know, wrapping the first three games into one DS cartridge or a 3DS cartridge and putting out like that. Because, like, that would, when you're up on your 10th anniversary for something, I think that you should probably re-release it. Like, do something special for it. And actually, that would bring me back to, like, I was playing some of Skyward Sword, and whenever you turn it on, it says, Legend of Zelda 25th Anniversary. That's plastered all over the packaging. It's plastered all over the front of the game. And I can see why they did that. I just feel that they didn't really need to do that, because the game can stand on its own without trying to bask it in nostalgia.
Sega's plastering Sonic 20th Anniversary stuff all over Sonic Generations.
Yeah, and the thing with that one is that I really like what they did with the graphics for the for a lot of the older things. But what they really should have done is just, instead of making this generation storyline with a little time eater or whatnot, and they should have just put out a special edition of the first three games with completely redone graphics, and then give me the ability to do what you can do in Cave Story, where you can play with the redone. You can play with the CGI characters, or you can have like the old sprite characters. Because what I want to do, I would like to do for Sonic's, 15th anniversary?
20th.
20th anniversary. Yeah, he's old. Darn, I'm old. Anyways, for that
I'm
is.
Older.
Yeah. What I'd like to do for that is to run around in this fully CGI rendered little world with a flat sprite. That would be great. Kind of like a Paper Sonic. I would have loved it if they did that, instead of deciding to throw out, here's our new enemy and here's our ridiculous stupid plot. Oh, but hey, guess what? Here's one level from the first game, and then we're going to give you a couple levels from some of the games that you didn't, that weren't really big, like one of the last levels in Sonic Generations is from Sonic Colors. And,
oh, we're talking about the 3DS version.
Actually, part of that. Have you played the PS3 360 one? Is it a bit?
I played a demo of the 360 version.
I think that one also ends with I don't think the Colors levels are in there, but man, it goes going back to my I had a review of Colors. The real problem is that when you look at these older levels, the older levels are built for speed. The newer ones are built. They're trying to turn it into Metroid or something, where you're like, oh, we've got to do more exploration. And I don't feel that Sonic should be about exploration. It's about speed and jumping on things. Ay, ay, ay. But yeah, that one's, there will probably be reviews up soon. Sonic-related reviews up soon. Because there are some, one of the other Game Gear games I've been touching is Sonic Chaos and Sonic 3D Blast for the Game Gear. And Sonic 3D Blast for the Game Gear is...
sucks.
Oh, it's horrendous. I can't wait to rip it to shreds.
Well, from what I understand, it sucks on any platform.
Oh, especially on the Game Gear one, though, because like it's not 3D, like isometric. It's just... It's not as bad as Sonic Genesis, but it's one of the worst ones. Can't wait to do the review for that. That'll be up on DMG Ice in the future. But yeah, that's really about all the news we had there for today. It'll be kind of a bit of a short show, but did you have anything you wanted to plug before we left?
Oh, did you not want to talk about MotorStorm for Vita?
With that one you can buy the PS3 one, and that gives you the Vita one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, slipped my mind.
One, and it goes back, and you can go back and forth between the PS3 and the Vita versions.
Well, it's good that there's one price for the single title on it.
And I hope this is the beginning of a trend. And you know what? If
it probably won't be.
If Sony continues to do this, I'm going to buy more on... So I'm going to buy more games on their products.
One thing about the Vita, though, that bugs me right now is that all those... I've got over 50 PlayStation 1 games that I've bought for the PlayStation 3. or PSP, and I can use it between the two systems, but you can't use those on the PlayStation Vita. You have to wait for them to re-release those on PlayStation Suite and then rebuy them. And that a lot of the repurchasing stuff in this is really kind of, it's not very nice.
And the UMD Passport program, that could be a bit expensive.
Yeah, I look at it this way. Let's see, I have a PSP 3000 for UMDs. I have a PSP Go, which is normally why I get. When I use PSP games, if I've got a download version of it, I play it on the Go. I would suggest people hold on to their Go.
Of course you play PSP on the Go.
Of course. Yeah. But yeah, I would suggest people, if you're going to pick up a PlayStation Portable Vita next year in February, hold on to your original PSP, because it's just cheaper that way. Looking at the launch lineup for it, we looked at the launch lineup for it a while back, and it'll be an interesting launch. Still looking to see what it'll do in Japan. Actually, there was a Famitsu.com survey. Remember, this is Famitsu.com, not the magazine, so anybody can answer the surveys on their website. But they had I'm trying to remember where the news story was for that, because I remember I didn't cover it. But yeah, there was a Famitsu.com survey about 2 or 3 days ago where they mentioned that the PlayStation Portable Vita was one of the most anticipated pieces of hardware that's not out yet. And most people are, on the software side of things, people were mostly looking forward to Monster Hunter and Mario Kart 7. So I was like, this was on their online survey, so I didn't really give it much weight, because when you do an online survey and anybody can answer it, usually anybody does, anybody being 4chan or 2chan, and that gets a little messy. But yeah, there was a news article that I saw on, I think it was Nintendo World, about the news article on Famitsu, which had to do with Famitsu's, now I remember why I didn't cover this, because it wasn't really news. It was more or less a website putting out a survey and then stating it as news, then everybody else kind of regurgitating the same story. Kind of like what happens with Rasmussen.
Yeah,
I know. News of news is not news. It's like when people are like, here's our announcement that we're going to do an announcement. Ugh. That irritates me so much, you know?
Yeah, I almost suggested a story about an upcoming Pokemon announcement, but news about news.
The rumor. Wait, no, not the rumor. Actually, we did that, the Jump Fiesta one. We mentioned that because Pokemon Company actually put out a press release saying, yeah, we're going to announce something, but we're not going to tell you what it is. And there was all sorts of speculation on it. There's also supposed to be speculation. Issue of Famitsu, there's supposed to be a little bit about a scoop where a popular JRPG is being, the seventh version of a popular JRPG is being ported to the 3DS, and it's supposed to be a huge deal.
That. I almost mentioned that too.
Yeah, people are like,
I'm hoping it's Dragon Quest, not Final Fantasy.
I don't think it's time to do a remake of Final Fantasy VII yet, because there's not a remake of five or six yet. But I'm hoping it's Dragon Quest VII as well, because then we'll be able to play that on the 3DS, you know, because like you have the older DS ones, and then once they put the Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 and Dragon Warrior 3, or rather Dragon Quest 3, the Game Boy Color ones, onto Virtual Console, it'll be perfect. Of course, that probably won't happen for I think we'll be talking ever. About, yeah. Well, not ever. It's just they've been putting out one or two a week on Virtual Console. It's been kind of slow. But hey, we're supposed to be getting Wario Land on Virtual Console, Super Mario Land 3 Wario Land, sometime before the end of December. So, yeah.
I believe it when I see it.
Ah. Yeah. We'll probably actually see it sometime, because it got a PEGI rating, for Europe, and it's already got an ESRB rating over here. And Europe, usually after they have a PEGI rating of something on Virtual Console, it usually comes out within about 2 to 3 weeks after the PEGI rating. which is pretty good because, like, we've actually had some type of parity with our virtual console releases between the two regions. Overall, there's not too much news on here today. But still, somehow, we found a way to stretch this out to half an hour. Aw, yeah. So, anything you want to plug before we retire the show or, you know, hit the stop button?
Well, always be sure to check out Cross Border Gaming at crossbordergaming.com or thatgamerhub.com/crossbordergaming.
And also, you know, check out dmgice.com. Of course, you already have if you're already here. Yeah, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. What are you looking forward to this holiday season? Just kind of, I just throw that out there before we head out.
Mario Kart 7.
Well, we're going to have to pick that up and ourselves over here and, like, I'll have to destroy you at that.
Yeah.
Or not. It depends. There's some...
Yeah, you probably will. I suck.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Sometimes I can barely beat Sarah. And actually what happened with Mario Kart is that she does have a winning record against me on it. And then I learned how to snake and she stopped playing against me. Because she's afraid of my mad skills.
No, because you're a cheap player.
Nah, snaking is a legitimate strategy. That's like when people are like...
Yeah, but it's cheap!
Nah, that's like when people are like, you Z-cancel? Yes, I do. On Super Smash Brothers, or some of those little things that you could do, literally, the little game-breaking techniques you could use with Super Smash Brothers for the GameCube. Like Z-cancels and the those weird little jumps.
Yeah, you can do it, but that doesn't mean it's not cheap.
Well, I mean, the thing with snaking is
I'll play with Sarah. I'll play with Sarah.
Yeah, the thing with snaking is that I had to learn that so I could win when I was playing online. Because people got to be ridiculous with that. And they got to a point where, like, you can post some really
Nintendo
amazing
Nintendo needs
signs.
Their own version of Steptoe.
Steptoe? Huh. What particularly is Steptoe?
Stephen Toulouse from Microsoft, their head of enforcement.
Oh, yeah. Is that kind of like how, like, recently I think Activision is something like that, where they actually banned, like, several million players off of Modern Warfare 3? That's not really handheld related, so I didn't put it in the news outline. But... yeah, with some of those, I just learned to adapt to it. The only thing that bugs me is when people rage quit. Like on Dead or Alive Dimensions on the Nintendo 3DS, I've noticed that people tend to do that when you're comboing them. Because I'll get in there and I figured out a way to do, like, with the main character in there, Kasumi, I can do up to a 26-hit combo, and it's hard for people to break it. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Combo Breaker!
I know, I don't have a soundboard. We're old tech over here. Very old tech. Mm-hmm. Almost Amish. Well, I gotta go churn some butter, so, thank you for, being on the show today.
I gotta put up my Christmas lights. Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to be anywhere?
I'm glad to be anywhere. I'm glad that I exist.
Me too. So, this has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth with Radio DMG on our 100% New City show with...
Harold the H-Bomb Price from Cross Border Gaming.
And good night.
And big balls.
Okay, I guess we hit stop now.